It is time for Judy Werpin and Food for a Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, her latest book, Journal of a Duck Midwife. Before her voice was still a friendship in the shadow of ALS. And we welcome in Judy today. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning to you. And I thought it was sort of a coincidence that what I wanted to talk about today was taking your children out to eat in a restaurant. And now I'm wondering if you shouldn't do a lice check before making the reservation. But maybe we'll just skip over that part of the topic.
Okay, that's a good idea, just because. I was just going to say that it is something that everybody of a certain age has had to deal with.
Absolutely. But the other thing we also have to deal with is the fact that at some point you may find yourself needing to take your children, either young, like a toddler, or you know, older, maybe 5 or 6 or 7, into a restaurant to eat because you're on a trip. Maybe you've just moved and you don't have anything to eat in your house, or for some reason you just want to take your kids out for a treat, or you have family over and you think it's nice if everybody got together in a restaurant, and you find yourself taking your children out to eat, and then the whole situation unravels. Your kids have trouble sitting still, even though they may be provided with, you know, an iPad or a cell phone that will amuse them. You know, eventually, if the food comes too late, the squirm factor begins, or you have siblings fighting. When the food actually arrives, you find that your children may take one bite and just let the rest congeal, get cold on the plate because they really aren't interested in eating. In short, the whole episode can be really wonderful or a total disaster. And I think I said in my blog to you, stating that something that is seared into my memory is when we had to take our then, I think she was about 18-month-old or 2-year-old daughter to a restaurant to eat because we were on a trip, and she managed to drop every bit of food on the carpet underneath the high chair. I don't know why they had carpets in the restaurant. And then when she poured her whole glass of chocolate milk down on the carpet, we decided it was time to leave quickly after paying the bill. So, you know, one has these memories of not quite relaxed dining. But I think one of the things that one should consider in going out to eat with children is that you can make the experience at least a little bit of a positive one, in that you can get the kids to enjoy what they're doing and also maybe eat some of the food that you're ordering for them. And there's just a couple of tips that one can really follow, and I think it might really work. And one thing is to try to eat early. If you get to a restaurant at 5 or 6 when it's not crowded, then you have a chance of being served much faster than if you're going at a peak dining hour, which means your children don't have to wait so long for their food. Or you could, if possible, make the meal a late lunch, maybe around 4 o'clock, and then hope that your kids would be satisfied with that meal and not have to have anything more before they go to bed. If they go to bed fairly early, that would really work. The other thing is, think about what you really want to order for your children. There are some restaurants, of course, have a menu for children. If you look at what's on those menus, they oftentimes contain foods that you probably would not serve your children at home, like chicken nuggets or maybe a cold grilled cheese sandwich, French fries. You might maybe make these foods occasionally, but these are not foods that you initially want to serve your children at dinner because they're not very nutritious. They oftentimes are very high in fat. And it's possible for you to consider simply ordering something for yourself and sharing that food with your child or children, because oftentimes the portions are so big that you certainly can share it and still have enough for yourself. And, maybe ordering, giving your kid, your child, on the whatever you order that you think that child might eat. So if you order chicken and vegetables and a potato, maybe the child will only eat the baked potato, but at least that is something, and it's relatively contaminated by a lot of fat. Or you may go to a restaurant and say, gee, why not introduce all of us, whoever's dining with us, to foods that we're not eating at home because I can't make them or I won't make them. I don't know how to make them. I don't have the time to make them. So if you go to a Chinese restaurant, for example, you certainly wouldn't order from a child's menu because the idea is to introduce your children to Oriental food, to Asian food. Or if you go to a Mexican restaurant, the same thing. Or even, you know, if you go to an Italian restaurant, you may order something like homemade ravioli that you certainly aren't going to make at home. So the experience should be something that will not only allow the child to eat, but also maybe enlarge that child's understanding of what foods from another culture are like, which is all to the good. But the most, I think one of the most important things is the order in which the food is served. And I've so often seen, you know, children eating at a restaurant, and this happened just a couple of days ago, where a mother and her child, must have been up 4 or 5 years old, were waiting for food to be delivered, and there's a can of Coca-Cola in front of the child. The child must have been about 4 or 5. And the child was drinking it, and I thought, okay, that child isn't going to be eating his meal because he is filling up on the soda. And sure enough, when the food finally was delivered, the child took one bite and pushed the plate aside so he could roll his truck over the table. And I think you don't realize that when we sit down and or have a drink, or even if it's maybe something like iced tea or something, it's delivered before the food. But we should tell the servants, no, don't bring the chocolate milk, or don't bring the Coca-Cola. Bring something that is going to fill the child up before the meal. But bring, if the child is thirsty, bring water. The child's not going to overdose on water and fill up his or her stomach. But not having the chocolate milk or the soda, the child still might be hungry when the food arrives. And finally, if you are ordering a plate, because I saw what this child was served, it should be in a small, you shouldn't just serve the child a large portion of anything, because children get sort of overwhelmed by it. It should be in a small plate, like a dessert-sized plate, where you can put a small amount of food that a child might be able to handle, and then have the child have that and feel that he or she has accomplished something by eating that, rather than having a very large portion that the child certainly would not be able to eat. Not necessarily work, but at least you have a fighting chance of getting some food into the child before you leave the restaurant, and maybe in the child and not on the floor.
Yeah, I know. I had a friend, though, I have to say that depending on the age of the child, before the age of toddler, he had what was known as the 2-minute rule. The 2-minute rule was, you had 2 minutes once your child started shrieking.
that's very good.
And in fact, he raised his
that quickly. That's the problem.
He raised his girls that way.
You see children, you're sitting on their at a table with their iPads, and they do seem to be immersed in what they're doing. But oftentimes, they're so busy doing that they don't want to eat either.
No, I know, and I have don't even get me started on the topic of kids at the table with their devices. Okay.
You know, it's better than having them shriek
or
fight with each other or throw food. And the other thing I just wanted to mention also is that restaurants tend to be noisy, whether they're for children and their parents or just for, you know, adults. And so the earlier you eat, the less possibility there is that the restaurant will be so noisy that the child might become agitated the way adults become agitated when they can't hear each other. And there's a lot of music, a lot of conversation. It's very hard to eat under that circumstance. And when you're taking the child out of a home where it's relatively quiet into a very noisy environment, no wonder a child becomes distracted. And the least important thing to that child at that point is what's on the plate in front of him or her. And so I think you have to think about these things ahead of time rather than just make a reservation, give the kid a bath, dress it up, and take it out to dinner. Because it should be, with a little bit of planning, could be a positive experience, not something you might want to do every day. And you might actually be able to get the kid nourished a little bit.
How right you are. Thank you very much.
Fine. Bye-bye.
Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy here on Robin Hood Radio every Thursday morning at about, we'll say 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. Also online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Food for Mood with Judy Wortman.